Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 11. The message this evening will come from John chapter 11. I want us to look at four verses of Scripture, beginning with verse 49 of John 11. Let's begin by reading these verses of Scripture. Begin with verse 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider. The title of my message will come from verse 50 here. Consider. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this he spake, not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Here we read the words of the high priest. The old writers say that by the time Caiaphas was high priest, that this was no longer a lifetime assignment. It had become an assignment of the king. The king would choose the high priest, and often that was influenced by money. And it would be a one year assignment. Caiaphas, he speaks from his own wicked heart, and he says, You know nothing at all. He speaks to these Pharisees. He said, You know nothing at all. You're ignorant, foolish people to sit around and discuss this man. To sit around and discuss the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Caiaphas speaks from his own wicked heart. Yet, the Spirit of God is going to speak through him. And he's going to preach the glorious gospel. Substitution and redemption through this wicked man. We should be encouraged by that, shouldn't we? The things that over the years, you know, you think back to Joseph back there. He talked to his brother there toward the end, and he said, "You meant this for wicked. God meant it. God meant it for good." Well, he says, "You know nothing at all. Nor have you considered." Look at verse 50. You haven't considered. Now the word consider, we consider a lot of things. We consider things all the time. I'm guessing, Ben, if we went to Dairy Queen tonight after the service, and you looked up there at that all those list of blizzards, you'd be considering, well, should I have cookie dough or should I have cotton candy? You'd consider. But the consequence of that would be very small, wouldn't it? Cotton candy, cookie dough blizzard. But the word consider here in our text, it means to deliberate. Like a jury. To weigh the facts, to consider the evidence. To consider. Imagine if someone's life was. Imagine you're on a jury, and some man's life is weighs in the balance, and you've got to consider that evidence. That's what this word means right here. Consider. I want us this evening, just for a little while, in this message, I want us to consider five things. Five things that this man Caiaphas speaks of. And the first of them is this. Let's read on in our text. He said, You've not considered that it's expedient, that it's good, that it's profitable for us, that one man. Here's the first thing I'd have us consider: the simplicity of the gospel. One man. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, over in 2 Corinthians 11:3, he said, He said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. We're completely Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. One man. Consider the simplicity of the gospel. One man. The scriptures declare one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. One. One. Consider the simplicity of the gospel. It's not Christ plus the law. It's not Christ plus your morality. It's not Christ plus your tradition. Not Christ plus your ceremony. It's not Christ plus anything. It's Christ. It's all of Him. Christ plus anything in redemption is not the gospel. It's one man. It's one man. Turn with me to Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 9 and 10 of Colossians 2. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. You're made perfect in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. God's word declares that we're made the very righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the simplicity of the gospel. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to our text here in John 11. Again, look at verse 50. He says, nor have you considered that it is expedient for us that one man should die. This leads us to our second point. One man should die. Caiaphas said, one man, why must a man die? Why must a man die? One answer, sin. Sin. The wages of sin is death. Consider your sin. Consider your sin. It's not what we do, not just what we do, it's what we are. Sinners. We can trace it all the way back to the garden. You know, we back to Adam. We talk about that a lot. You young ones, you hear us talk about that a lot. I remember Henry saying, wrong on the fall, wrong on it all. Man is dead in trespasses and sin. By one man sin entered into the world. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam fell, we were made sinners. In a legal sense, and also our nature. We've got a sin nature. You young ones, and all of us, for that matter. When mom and dad say, no, don't get in the cookie jar, What's our natural desire? And it has nothing, most of the time it has nothing to do with us being hungry. It's just the fact that we were told no. It's that sinful, rebellious nature that we're born with. Born with a sin. David said this. David said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Don't have to be taught to lie. Don't have to be taught to lie. Don't have to be taught to sin. It's there. We're born with it. Sin. And it's our sin. It's my sin. Turn to Psalm 51. David said here in verse 1 of Psalm 51, He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest." Consider the simplicity of the gospel. Consider my sin. And then the third point, consider the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at our text again here in John 11. Consider that it's expedient, it's good, it's profitable that one man should die for the people. That he should die for the people. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's substitute. Back in John 10, turn back just a couple pages. John 10, look at verse 14 and 15. He said, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life. I lay down my life for the sheep." 2 Corinthians 5:21. Turn there. We read this often, but turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The Lord Jesus Christ had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin. He was perfect before the law of God. Yet our sin was laid on him. He was made to be sin. Isaiah 53, we read, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was made a curse. The Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. Hebrews 8:28, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Our scripture reading earlier from Romans 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. For us. It's good for us. And for our sins, for the sins of his people, he died under the wrath and justice of a holy God. All this, that his people might go free. Remember when God told Abraham to go offer up Isaac, and then as they walked, Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb?" Abraham uttered those words, "God will provide himself a lamb." And they went on, and Abraham prepared that sacrifice. Put Isaac up there, and he took that knife to slay him, and God stopped him. And Abraham looked far off, and there in that bush, there's that ram caught in the thicket. He took him off the altar, and he took that ram, and he offered it in the place of Isaac. Isaac goes free. The Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, hath made him to be sin for us, for his people, he that knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God. Consider substitution. Consider our substitute, who endured the wrath and the punishment and the guilt of our sin for a holy and just God. Consider him. He suffered and died on the cross. And then the fourth word, and this goes with the third point, satisfaction. Satisfaction. Look at verse 50 again. You haven't considered that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Why won't that whole nation perish? Why is that? Christ our substitute bore our sins, and Almighty God was satisfied. He was satisfied. Satisfaction. The Scriptures declare that when Christ, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. He sat down on the right hand of Almighty God. In Hebrews 10, verse 17 and 18. Turn over there to Hebrews 10. Let's start verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. It's been put away. The sins of his people, the sins of his elect have been put away. Our sin, put away, and we're made everlastingly secure in him, in our Savior. Our Lord made one sacrifice for sin forever, and in doing so, he completely and perfectly satisfied the wrath and justice of a holy God. Jeremiah 31, 34. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them and to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. They've been put away. Consider, God's wrath and justice has been satisfied by the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back at our text. Fifth point. Another S word. God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Consider God's sovereignty in the salvation of his people. Look at our text. Look at verse 52. Now let's read 51. And this spake he not himself, being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation. Not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. He should gather together. God's sovereignty in gathering together his people. You know, our sins have separated us from God. We read our selfish desires have separated us. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Yet he says, I'll gather them together. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh, until the Messiah come. And unto him shall the gathering together of his people be. Christ has a people, his children, given him by God in all eternity. People scattered abroad. Listen to what our Lord says in John 6. Turn to John 6. Turn back just a few pages to John 6. These are the words of our Lord himself. He says, all that the Father, look at verse 37. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not going to lose. He's not going to lose one. Back in Exodus, when God was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses was speaking there, and he said, talking about the people coming out, and he talked about the cattle. The cattle, he said, there won't be a hoof. There won't be a hoof left behind. He's not going to miss anything. He's not even going to leave a hoof behind. And he'll draw them to himself. He draws his people to himself. Our Lord said this, this is the Father's will which has sent me. All which the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing. Raise it up. Raise it up the last day. Well, consider. Consider the simplicity, the singleness of the gospel. It's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider our sin. Consider my sin. Consider our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider satisfaction. Almighty God is satisfied. Fifth, consider God's sovereignty. The security of every believer that which he's promised to do, gathering his people together. He said, I'll not lose one of them. Turn with me. We looked at this scripture for our scripture read. I want to go back and read it again. Romans 8. We'll close with this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8. Let's consider this passage of Scripture one more time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who's he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray the Lord be pleased to bless his word. Brother Mike.